So this evening, we're going to present the first portion of our budget. This is a part of the 17-18 budget development process. And the way we're doing it is Mr. O'Keefe will be presenting, along with different administrators throughout the year, various portions of the 17-18 budget. These are a lot of estimates at this point, and these are works in progress, so these are all in draft form. So we are in the process of developing the budget. You know, for example, something like staffing hasn't taken place yet. Our students at the high schools are just selecting their courses for next year. So that's a part that we will get to later on in the budget process. So for this evening, Mr. O'Keefe is going to share several components of our budget with you. And the target that we're using right now is a program rollover budget. So we are looking, you okay, Seth? We are looking to preserve our current programs and roll that budget over. So I'm going to hand the floor over to Mr. O'Keefe.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Just a reminder of the timeline. Obviously, this evening is the first presentation. In total, there are five budget development presentations. The intention is over the first three, we'll roll out the entire initial draft budget, and that'll leave us meetings 4 and 5 to continue to tweak the budget as we learn more about our revenue streams, or as staffing is known and there are changes to the number of staff members depending upon the program. So these are the dates. Again, this presentation will be on the website and it'll be posted on social media for you to refer back to. So this is just a quick recap of our 16-17, the current budget that the district is in right now. It's about $306 million. It was a $10 million increase from the prior year. The tax levy increase was about 0.75%. You might remember the CPI last year was very low. It was 0.12. And again, the district could keep the levy low, primarily due to the fact that the gap elimination adjustment money had been restored in full, which provided about $8.5 million of that $10 million. So that's what helped the district build the current year's budget, as well as the fact that obviously buildings were closed and savings were realized. So the budget was tax cap compliant. Obviously, it was very fiscally prudent. And just as a matter of fact, the last 5 years, the district has averaged about 1.27% in annual budget-to-budget increases. Most of these items are things that we've talked about in the past. So I won't spend a lot of time on it, but these are just the challenges. You'll hear about them in the news. People talk about, you know, unfunded mandates and BOCES expenses and retirement expenses, health insurance expenses. I mean, in this year alone, our health insurance, as many of your own, with your own policies, our policy went up 11.65%. You know, you budget for 8%, 9%, which is the norm. This year was an abnormal year, so it was a much higher increase. Slide repeats from our last presentation when I gave a brief overview of the tax cap. I won't spend a lot of time on the tax cap tonight. When we go over the first revenue budget, probably in the third presentation, I'll revisit the calculation. But just to remind you, the tax cap has been in effect since the 2012-13 school year. Only two of those years we were actually at 2%. 4 years in a row now have been under the 2%. This year, the CPI, which is what the base calculation to increase the levy, is 1.26%. I'm not going to dwell on this. Obviously, you have the handout, and again, it will be available. But I just wanted to take a moment just to demonstrate where we've been and where we're going. Obviously, the district has had struggles in the last few years. The top row of this slide is the actual expenditures each year, not the budget, the actual expenditures. The second line is the actual revenues we realized. And then the third line is whether or not we had an annual surplus or deficit. Obviously, we are all aware that we have had operating deficits 5 years in a row. The bottom line is our year-end fund balance. We'll know that in 14-15, obviously, we went down to $16,000 in unassigned fund balance. We did have $5 million in other reserves, but again, that was a really tough place. We finished 15-16 rather strong. We were able to add to our fund balance, and now you can see we're on the upswing. So we're certainly not out of the woods, but we are definitely in a better position than we were a year ago. So tonight, we're just basically going to talk about the non-instructional areas of the budget. And the budget is, you know, well over 700 individual lines, and again, over $300 million. Tonight we're going to take about a half of the budget, about $145 million as it stands right now, and go through those lines, and not to rush it, so if anyone has questions from the board along the way, please stop me. You have the budget in front of you. You have the initial line by line with some of the notes and the detail, but I just wanted to go over the basics as they stand right now for what we call general support. So that's, you know, the business office, the superintendent's office, facilities and grounds, things of that nature, transportation, the employee benefit lines, debt service, which is any monies that we owe on our bonds, and then interfund transfers. These would be monies that would be allocated for other purposes. So again, a little small for those in the back. Hope most of you do have a copy of it. But these are the areas where the Board of Education is budgeted for, district clerk. District meeting means the annual vote. Chief school administrator is the superintendent's office. Business administration is anything related to the business office. That would be under the area of my control and things of that nature. So the 16-17 budget to the 17-18 proposed, you will see some slight variations here or there. I spent a lot of time, Mr. Sachs and I, going through the budget line by line, item by item, since this is my first go through with this budget, just trying to see how every dollar is allocated and spent. Wherever I saw that maybe monies weren't allocated enough in a particular line as we move forward, if it's something that we know we're going to continue to do, I've adjusted the budget, and that's what's reflected in these lines. So, I mean, the Board of Education, you'll see the line went up a few thousand dollars. You know, some of that's just due to required board training. Others is to reinstate our membership in the Nassau Suffolk School Boards. District clerk line, minor changes due to change in personnel. The business office line, just realigning actual expenditure and postage estimates to what we actually do each year. When I build my budgets, you'll notice that I show the actual for the prior 3 years. I like to look at trends. You know, if you just look at budget to budget to budget, there's really no way to see where you've been. It's a much more effective way of looking at the budget, drilling into it, and making decisions about, you know, what should be the appropriate proposed budget for this year. Were there any questions from the board on this first slide? Yes.
John, under district treasurer, is that just because of personnel changes?
The district treasurer actually is not where the treasurer herself is paid from. That line is where our bond counsel comes from.
Okay.
Hawkins Delafield Wood and Capital Market Advisors, our financial advisors. I kept the number at the same. As you can see, typically we spend somewhere in the 30,000 range. If we were to have a bond vote and I needed to go out to market twice, I wanted to be sure that we had enough money set aside to do that.
Okay, thank you.
So on that line, again, with the district meeting line, the 1060 line, you'll see what you would consider probably twice what we normally spend. So as we move through the budget process, one of the items we'll be discussing is the potential for a capital bond next year. If we're going to have that bond, I want to reserve the necessary monies to have the election and go through the process. Yeah.
Can you, the communications line, why is a significant jump in that line?
I know the board's discussed with the superintendent the potential that we might be adding Syntax Communications. So $77,000 of that increase would be for Syntax. The other part of the increase is for postage. Each year we have to mail out the required budget notice. The district has not budgeted ever before on that line for that postage expense. You know, when the time came for the postage, they would look to another line to hopefully transfer money in. We typically need about $7,500 a year. If we're going to have two potential votes and two required mailings, I've budgeted $15,000. So it's basically just putting in a money in a line that we do spend money on a regular basis from that just hasn't been funded before.
Mine was the same question. It just pertained to communications. It was a 262% increase.
Sure.
But you answered it.
Thank you. Yep. Yes.
Going back a few years, John, when the budget was posted on Sachem's website, mm-hmm. it used to be a more detailed. So, like under communications, it would give a detailed line by line. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be posting something like that?
I would think as we fine-tune the budget and we finalize it, yes. As we go through these initial drafts, I was keeping it in functional format.
Right.
Obviously, the board has the detailed breakdown as well as the notes behind each line.
Right.
But
I
yes,
just wasn't sure for
a
the community.
Absolutely.
The detailed line.
Yep,
all right,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions on this slide? All right. Next line is primarily your facilities department, your buildings and grounds, your maintenance department, safety compliance, our security department, central data processing, so that would be any data unrelated specifically to classroom instruction. Unallocated insurance is just the term that the state controller's office uses for insurance, so that's our district-wide liability. Judgment and claims is just money set aside if there were, you know, a judgment or the need for a deductible, things of that nature. And the final line, the 1981, the $1.8 million, those are the BOCES admin services. So this isn't for any particular COSA that the district buys into. This is our portion that we pay to BOCES to belong to the BOCES. $1.2 million of it is to support their back office operations, and about $600,000 of it is to pay for their actual facilities expense. So when they lease properties or their own buildings or debt on buildings that they own, each of the 51 districts pays a proportional amount of their total operating expenses in our own budget. So to be a member of the BOCES, like you might be a member of a Costco, there's a fee to belong. This is our fee to belong to BOCES. Were there any questions in this area? Sure.
John, as far as the security numbers changing a little bit, in the budget for 16-17 was lower than the years previously, and that was because we had some cuts in security. But now, as you're forecasting for the proposed budget for 17-18, what are you putting in there right now in the proposed budget as far as security?
Everything that we currently have. So this year's current budget is actually insufficient, you know, for what we brought forward. Obviously, we made adjustments and transfers earlier in the year to add 6 guards back at the high school level. But also, there was another line within that that you can see in the detail that's typically a little under budget. We spend more than what's in that line. So this is aligning each of the budget lines with projected expenditures, as well as the 6 guards that were added at the high school level.
Okay, thank you.
And under the budget line, the 2000, which is equipment, is a $388,000 proposed increase.
Yeah.
Could you just talk a little bit about why?
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, just proposed. So obviously, if we think back to the bond that was proposed earlier that, you know, we've set aside for a while, one of the items in that bond was about $6 million worth of equipment. I'm not necessarily sure that that was the best way to purchase equipment through a bond that's over many years. What I did is I tried to identify all of the equipment that was most dire in need to be replaced. So in your detail, it'll tell you, I mean, some of these vehicles are upwards of 25 or 30 years old. There's several dump trucks, pickup trucks, and regular vehicles. I've identified a group of them, as well as, I believe, a cement mixer, and also the risers at all of the elementary and I think middle schools needed to be retrofitted with railings for safety purposes. So that's another $30,000 expense. But those are certainly topics we can explore. So these are the items that we pulled from that bond proposal.
So you took it out, including the budget.
I'm trying to work some of it into each budget as we go along. As we go further in, you'll see I also I'm thinking of adding in the initial 6 buses, potentially, to start rolling that fleet over as well.
And the advantage of that would be is that we don't have to finance it for 15
years. Right. And also on the buses, you do get aid. And on the buses, you also do get the ability to work it into the tax cap calculation, and it becomes an exclusion.
So the bus is not in there yet?
This 388 is strictly facilities vehicles.
Okay.
Were there other questions? And then on to transportation. And again, these lines are really just aligning current expenditures. You know, the main line here is the contractual transportation line, the 5540 line. It's $16.5 million. It's basically taking every bus route that we currently have. These are the contracted routes through town and WE, rolling them over with a maximum anticipated increase of 2% on the contracts, because they do follow a different CPI, of course, than the budget does. It's the CPI that comes out in May, which makes it a little bit harder to follow. So it takes every single route we currently have. I apply a 2% increase just to be sure that if it does go up to that maximum, I have sufficient monies. There's two contingent large buses, I believe two contingent minibuses for special ed, and five contingent matrons if there were the need, because that's something that sometimes is unpredictable. The other expenses, BOCES, we're just bringing it more in line with where we anticipate the expenses being, so that's why you're seeing a drop there. And the district transportation line is our existing fleet. Now, the one line that you see, no expenses actually in every single year, then you see money in 16-17, and then no money in 17-18. I can't understand, you know, what the reason was to do it this way, but in the past, the district has always budgeted about $120,000 on that line, and they would expense the line, the money there all year long, and then move the expense to where it belonged in the 16-20s. This is to put gas in all of the security vehicles, facility vehicles, the maintenance and repairs, tires, things like that nature. You can't keep it in the 5,500 codes because it's not an aidable transportation expense. It has to be allocated back to facilities. So I just placed that 120,000 up in facilities to start off with. So if you go to the facilities detail budget, you'll see there's four new lines, you know, for gasoline, fuel, maintenance, and repairs. I'm just moving the expense to the appropriate category instead of booking the expense all year long in one place and then moving it at the end of the year. Any questions here? All right. This is a very large chunk of the budget. This page alone is about $76 million. This is all the different benefit expenses that we don't really have too much control over. It's the employer retirement system, which would be all of your employees that are civil service. Then you have the teacher's retirement system, which would be the retirement system for your administrators, teaching staff, teaching assistants, the FICA portion of Social Security, workers' compensation expenses, we're self-funded, life insurance by contractual obligation, unemployment insurance, disability insurance, again, we're self-funded, medical insurance, this is health insurance, this is the area that the current year we went up a little over 11.5%, and other benefits. Other benefits is the Medicare portion of Social Security, as well as non-discretionary payments to 403Bs for those collective bargaining agreements that have those separation payments. So certain payments aren't made through payroll, they're actually made directly into a 403B, so here we're budgeting for that expense. Do we have any questions here? Sure.
Under the workman's compensation, just curious why you're budgeting for 16-17, proposing the same number for 17-18.
Right now I'm still analyzing. I mean, the tough part is the district has incurred expenses that have increased annually by 18-22% for the last 3 years in a row. In 16-17, everything I've been looking at thus far through, you know, the 6-7 months that I have to look at, it looks like it's stabilizing. So I think based on everything that I'm seeing, it looks like we're going to be safe with keeping a flat number moving forward. I mean, you can see from 13-14 to present, you went from 2 million to almost 2.4 to 2.9 in large jumps annually. The program is completely district funded. It's not an insurance policy. So as medical claims come in or indemnity claims come in or legal fees come in, the district cuts a check. We do engage a third-party administrator to manage the claims for us, and that costs us about $120,000 a year. And then we also have another excess workers' comp policy for claims that might run in excess of $500,000, where we pay about another $110,000 a year. But you know, a little over $3 million is budgeted strictly for payment of claims. What's that?
The number that you have right there as far as the 16-17 budget.
16-17? That's this year's budget.
Right. But do you know where you are in actual?
If I was to extrapolate where I think we're going to be, I think we're going to come under $3 million this year based on year-to-date expenses. So, I mean, this might be a line that if that starts to look truer to me as we go along, where maybe the 17-18 budget backs off a little bit. I'm just still very leery when I look at, you know, almost 20% increases every year for the last 3 years before I back off a number that's this large.
Yeah. John, you indicated that the health insurance premiums are up almost 12% this year.
Correct.
What
yes.
about the TRS and the ERS?
Well, the district entered into a smoothing program, okay. so our rates are not fluctuating up and down. So you may have read in the news that the TRS and ERS rates are projected to drop this year. That doesn't really have any impact on us because we locked in at a steady rate. I mean, the thing to keep in mind is because we stayed at that lower rate when rates were much, much higher, the district actually currently on our books has a liability of nearly $11 million. We owe, I forget which is which, we owe ERS or $5 million, I think TRS $5.9 million. Mm-hmm. And we pay that back by the fact that when the rates are below what we're paying towards that debt. So currently we're carrying about $11 million of debt on our books. So when you look at the $13 million of fund balance, you have to keep that in mind that it's offset by the fact that we have a liability.
So as a result of that pension smoothing that we entered into, we're paying higher today than we would have if we didn't have to go
You'd
down.
Be paying more in this year than you would have because the employer contribution percentage has dropped.
Dropped, okay.
Yep, so whereas in the TRS system, we're paying in 14.13%. Mm-hmm. I think they're estimating it might even be just a little below 10. Mm-hmm. So we would benefit from that, except that you know, since we entered the smoothing, we can calculate the same percentage annually.
And that smoothing was, what, a five-year?
Well, ERS is permanent.
No, the smoothing agreement that we entered, the pension smoothing agreement a couple of years ago.
Right.
That you know, sunsets after a period of time, right?
ERS never sunsets. You're in it forever unless they change the law. TRS, we can exit at certain points, mm-hmm. But ERS, you cannot exit. Any other questions on the benefits? Okay, so the last group of lines that we're going to go over is basically just the district's debt. The first line are the bonds currently payable next year for the library. So the $418,000 in debt is paid by the library, so an equal amount of revenue is budgeted on the revenue side. So it's not truly as if it's coming out of the school budget, it's just booked since we're the mechanism to pay the note. The next line is $16.8 million, which you'll see is a nice reduction from the current year, are the bonds on our outstanding construction. That's the major construction projects the district entered into back in the early 2000s. We refunded that debt in 2016, so we'll be saving several hundred thousand dollars in debt payments. The tax anticipation note is the interest that we budget for our borrowing at the beginning of the year for our tax anticipation note. The district starts the year with insufficient funds to make it until we get our first property tax payments in late December, early January. So for example, this year the district borrowed $66 million. That 1.5 gives us the flexibility to borrow up to the $100 million, which is what the board typically sets as its baseline or maximum on the TAN note. As the district accumulates more money in fund balance and reserves, it actually reduces the amount we need to borrow each year. So hopefully we won't need the entire $1.5 million, and then that'll end up being surplus that we can roll back at the end of the year. The energy performance contract, we just entered into a new contract, which is the solar panels and the cogeneration units that you see going up around district. So it will be adding $1.8 million in new debt to the district's budget for next year, but that is offset by an increase through the levy, and in the following year, once the project is done, we'll also then start to receive our aid, and we receive 66% aid on energy performance contracts. So a large portion of that $1.8 million will be coming back in offset. And the last line is a line that the budget that the district hasn't used in some time. This is the transfer to capital line. This is the line where you can set aside monies within the general fund budget to do things like purchasing buses or capital projects, things like putting on a roof or new parking lots or whatever the case is, items in the budget that would be larger than the capacity of our maintenance crew. So for this year, I'm initially proposing $1.5 million in transfer to capital. And on the next slide, I can go into a little more detail of what that represents, since that is something that you haven't seen in some time. Were there any questions on this slide right now? Yes.
John, on the TAN for the 16-17 budget, it's 1.5 that's in the budget line. proposed you're going at 1.5, and you had just touched on this. So now that we have some money in unappropriated funds and reserve, so your strategy would be to use that money instead of taking out
such a
large TAM.
Right, as you build reserves, you actually end up borrowing from yourself.
Right.
You know, we're not really in a position where we have anywhere near enough funds to do this. $13 million, you know, would barely make your first major month of payroll.
I think, Mr. O'Keefe,
I knew I wasn't going to do that. one of the things
that we also have to be cautious of with that money in the reserves right now is that we will be moving forward with the Smart Schools Investment Plan, which is a reimbursable product, process. Our allocation is a little over $11 million. And that process works. You have to lay that $11 million out, or some portion of it, as you authorize those expenditures, and then we're reimbursed from the state. So I think that's another factor in this conversation that we would have to be cautious of, is that we do need to have some monies available for both the smart schools, and then, as Mr. O'Keefe mentioned, that we still wouldn't have enough to meet our expenditures at that point.
Right. Yeah, this is just strictly the interest that we would anticipate spending. Yes, sir.
Mr. O'Keefe, what was the actual interest on the tax anticipation note for 16-17? Do you have that number yet?
0.867.
Just a follow-up question to that.
Sure.
Obviously, in 2015, our credit rating kind of was that damaged as a result of fund balance.
Yeah, we're at a double A minus right now with
a stable
outlook. Not yet, no.
We haven't seen a change. When did they adjust that? And how
this is usually about the time where you'll get your inquiry packet from Standard & Poor's, and they'll go over your financials from the final year. Only a week ago, we got our report from the State Comptroller's Office. So those type of things would go into that.
So if they upgrade our credit rating, obviously our
right.
You know,
your interest rate would drop slightly as well.
You know, yeah. What we borrow, obviously our interest rate is going to be impacted by that.
Yeah, you'll be borrowing less at a lower interest rate.
Okay, great.
Anything else? And just to add some detail to what's behind that $1.5 million, the district was visited by the Office of Civil Rights a number of years ago. There was quite an extensive list of things that they found not within ADA compliance. We've addressed everything on the list except for these two major items. Actually, there is a third, but that third item is a smaller item, so it's within the budget. It's to basically provide either a lift or a ramp system to get into the pool at North. That's one of the equipment items that you saw within that $388,000 in the facilities lines. But the two big items that obviously we wouldn't be able to do on our own would be the staircase from the top parking lot of East down to the lower fields, which our architects estimated about $400,000. And then it's not a complete renovation of the pool locker rooms, it's just a renovation to bring them to ADA compliance, is another $406,000. And then my initial proposal to start building the buses in over time, so maybe we do 5 or 6 a year for the next several years, since the fleet is aging. This proposal shows 6 new buses, which are about $750,000 for the $1.5 million. Now, that $1.5 million, and you probably don't recall, but from the tax cap formula that I demonstrated 2 weeks ago, that is a component of the exclusion. So that would go in and actually adds $1.5 million to the levy. So adding this 1.5 doesn't take away 1.5 of monies that would be available for program. If we decide we don't want to do any of these things, and the first two items we really don't have any choice on, it's not like we're taking $1.5 million away from any particular program for the students. Any questions here? Okay. So again, these are just preliminary numbers, very likely to change. I mean, as Dr. Graham mentioned, the students are still fulfilling their course requests for next year. We'll be having staffing meetings starting in late February, going into the beginning of March. Obviously, we're not going to see our final state aid projections till on or about April 1st. We have heard rumor that they might be slightly delayed this year because of some issues with internal fighting up in Albany. Obviously, we'll all keep working together to refine these as new information becomes available. obviously I'll keep the board and the community updated on that. And as I said, I'm not familiar with how you broke up the budget presentations in the past. I like the style of breaking it up into pieces where we investigate a certain number of lines each time. I do the non-instructional pieces first because very little in that area changes as we move forward. The next batch I'd like to go through on the 15th would be athletics, special education, grant-funded programs that are the support for that grant-funded program is through the general fund, and our co-curricular activities. And we'll follow that up with a final presentation on curriculum instruction. So that would be all of our general education programs, occupational education, whether it be in-house or BOCES, guidance, library, childcare, summer enrichment, et cetera. And then that'll give us the time over the next two meetings to really drill into those items, you know, discuss where we stand with the revenue budget and what decisions need to be made from the board. And then, like I said, the two follow-up discussions are on the 22nd and the 5th, and the budget vote this year is on May 16th.